But you never know. It might be like the hare and the tortoise, you know, some guy that pays the 50 grand and goes, yes, I've got the diamond chisel. I think I'll just have a little sleep. And then someone with a free chisel has been tapping away for 24 hours without stopping, without drinking, without even looking up, just going, tap, 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 out loud. And then as the guy goes, I think I'll start chipping away with my diamond chisel. The other guy goes, yes, done it. Peter Molyneux's floating head. Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 179. I am the host this week, Will Wilson, and with me is...
You've gone strange, Will.
I'm not drinking tonight. I'm still recovering from the illness, so I'm having a glass of water. Also, I'm quite tired and I got distracted. I got distracted by the word magazine on my notes, and so I started, I just started going a bit weird. Anyway, the voices that you've just heard aren't in your head, but are in fact Peter Wellington and James Gilmore.
Evening.
Hello.
And we haven't got any Keith or John this week, because John is somewhere else.
Far, far away.
In a cage. And Keith is ill, so...
He's poorly, isn't he? Poorly bunny.
Poor. Oh. So it's just the three of us. We can make it if we try. in the podcast chamber today. It's still quite a tight squeeze, though. It's only made for two people.
Yeah, it's very close, I would say. Very personal.
Yeah. I was cozying up to Peter right now, actually.
Yeah, it's get off me.
should we actually get out of the podcast booth and go straight to the newsroom?
All right then.
All right.
Go on then.
News!
Are you actually going to include the audio this week?
I missed that last time. I was like, can I be bothered? I went,
Brilliant.
The thing is, I don't have an office background noise, I found out after I first introduced it.
It's all crap. You did it once. I heard some noise.
That's not the background for an office. That's the background for an airport.
Oh.
I did a bit of sneaky cutting and looping, so it didn't have any planes.
Okay. Oh, well. It fooled us, sort of, I suppose, didn't it?
But what am I talking about? Of course we're in an office.
Yes.
Can't you hear? Mm-hmm. I've just been given this week's stories there from Susan. And first up on the news this week is that there's a new magazine out.
What?
A new digital magazine, a virtual magazine.
Oh my word.
It exists on the interweb. Well, actually exists on the App Store. Yes, a new magazine called Swipe Magazine. That's all lowercase. Just launched from Steel Media. That's our parent company. Launched a few days ago, and it is wicked, and it is free.
I like both of those things.
And it's for iPad only.
Oh, good, I've got one.
But there's a little like cheeky nod that maybe there'll be an iPhone version at some point in the advert, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah. Ooh. Hasn't been sorted out yet, but if you've got an iPad, you can go check it out. Like I say, it's free. It's not just Pocket Game stuff. In fact, there's only a few things from Pocket Game in there. The reviews. We've got some reviews from us. But it's meant to be part of the Smartphone Alliance, which is a group of about 40, 50 sites that include, you know. Mm-hmm. Include all the big names, you know, 148 apps, Slide to Play, Touch Gen, and all that. And us, of course. And we've got features in there. It's loads of interactive elements. QI rating on all the games, so you get the alternate reviews from the different sites. It's all very good. It's all flash and
It's very slick, isn't it? I booted it up today, and I was most impressed. Little animated bits and interactive noodly bits, and you press a little thing at the bottom, and all the scores come out. And yeah, it's like a magazine plus.
Yes. So yeah, Yeah. So it's out now. It's free, and you can get it by typing in Swipe Magazine in the App Store. That's enough plugging. Have you got any more news for me, Susan? Thank you. iOS 6 apparently was revealed this week. Ooh. To expectant developers and journalists in WDC, San Francisco. I can't bring up a list of features because the site is down, so I'm going to have to just do stuff off the top of my head. So
you
yeah,
you should if you were to check Susan's inbox, or perhaps your inbox, you might find something that would help you along there.
Ah, very interesting. Yes, my God, what's she been? Who's she been talking? Who's Michael? I don't want to read more of that. It gets quite dodgy. Oh, here we go.
Skips the good bit.
Yeah, I'm skipping down a bit. Ah, here we go. Tim Cook's presentation. Hey, babe, did you see Tim Cook's presentation about iOS 6? Oh, yes, they introduced they presented Game Center Challenges, Game Center Friends, and Game Groups, but they don't actually talk about them. A Game Center with Facebook. Oh, we've Game Center Friends from Facebook. Okay. They didn't actually talk about the game-related ones, though. They spent most of their time talking about Siri and Maps. Not Siri and Maps, but Siri and Maps.
In conjunction, both of those things. They've got pretty new photorealistic 3D rendering.
It's like I'm actually suspended in the air.
Yes. Which is, it's got a flyover feature. Now, does that mean flyover as in use kind of the camera zooms over the top of the earth, or it's just going to show you select bits of motorways in extremely high detail?
Yeah, no, I think it's probably the latter.
The thing that really sort of weirded me out about the maps sort of chat was it was like, you know, it's an incredible brand new way to see, you know, to see where you're going. And it's like, well, yeah, if I was a bird, this would be really, really useful. But like, I'm actually on the ground. So how is this useful to me? I just need like a top down kind of, you need to go this way. Like, that's what I need. If I was a pigeon, brilliant. But if I'm a pigeon with an iPad, well.
You get to see a lot of very highly, you know, highly beautifully rendered tiles on the roofs of houses, which arguably you're not really going to see from ground level. So there is something to that, I suppose. The top-down view just needs to have an arrow going that way.
It'd be good for locating rooftops with like field of vision to neighboring hotel rooms for snipers.
Yeah, actually, okay, yeah, fine, yeah. You've definitely hit the nail on the head there.
it's a very specific audience, though, isn't it?
They did mention it in the presentation.
So snipers.
Yeah.
I like the idea. They probably were. They're probably following the presentation, but they were probably following the presentation from two conference halls across.
Looking for a scope.
Exactly. Okay. Good. Glad you got that covered.
But also, what else did they introduce? They did a bit of Siri stuff. Siri can now speak more languages than me, but that's not hard. I can only speak half a language, which is Ing.
Ing, just the Ing.
Ing. So Siri can now speak, among other things, Cantonese, Mandarin, and Korean. But also she/he/it had a few jokes at Samsung's expense to open the show.
Did it launched out some little digital zingers?
It did, but unfortunately it's stored in my live blog, which I can't access because the site is down. Tech team are on it now, apparently. I just got a message. But yes, yeah, I can't remember what she said. She said something pretty radical, pretty funny,
something like lol Samsung or
oh God,
Samsung
has a new phone.
I don't know if you just Samsung, Sam suck. Am I right? Bah, yeah.
Bah. I am looking forward to the new Samsung, the refrigerator.
That's the one. Yes, that's the joke she cracked, and everyone laughed like crazy because it's a timing. I think that's the real. It's the way that Sid delivers.
It's the way I tell him.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But what other things? There were quite a lot of other features, but like do not disturb, where like people can't light up your phone in the middle of the night?
Siri can do more stuff now, can't it? You can ask it things like, where's this email from somebody, and then it'll go, oh, here it is, and then you can find it. And I think you can tweet from Siri now.
Oh yeah, you can actually, and you can open apps from Siri.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that was like, it was a bit of a disappointment when it launched, because I really wanted to do that. Not for any real reason, not that it would ever be useful, but just because it would be the future. It was kind of cool, wasn't it?
Nice to know that the future's there. It's true, like if you're trying to access some email and you're just like, where is the email from so and so at this time, it's not the kind of stuff you really want to be saying. And ultimately Siri is going to answer 3:30.
Yeah.
Because that's what it
is. I never saw the email. What do you mean you never saw the email? I didn't get the email, okay?
Well, I BCC'd you in. I don't understand what's going on. No.
I didn't get the email. Oh, no, wait. There it is. God.
Siri, the angry secretary you never had.
The thing that shocks me, though, is that this is coming to 3GS as well.
Yeah, I know, but it's not coming to the iPad 1.
That's really weird.
I think that's cold, isn't it?
They've basically made the iPad 1 obsolete already.
They have.
Mm. But the 3GS is still kicking. Although there's quite a lot of features. Unusually for a new version of iOS, there's a lot more splittage between what different models can do. So like iPhone 4 can't do FaceTime over 3G, which is another new feature. Only the 4S can do that. 3D maps, I don't think that's available on the 3GS. And FaceTime's not available on the iPad 2 over 3G. You know, there's quite a lot of like little bits that aren't up, that aren't available. So
I'm surprised the iPad 2 can't do FaceTime. I would have thought it would have been able to handle it.
FaceTime over 3G. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it can.
Yeah.
But it seems a bit silly. I mean, it doesn't require four times the graphical
processing. No.
That's the same CPU, so.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
I just think they want you to get a 3, don't they?
What?
What?
Not a 3, a new. They want you to get a new. Because that's what
it
is, isn't it?
Are you honestly suggesting that Apple as a company is making people upgrade their hardware at a potentially faster rate than other companies?
What?
I'm going to leave. I'm leaving right now.
Get out. Get out.
In fairness, though, they're not the worst offender for that.
No, not at all.
HTC and Samsung.
I was
going to add that in. Even those two have got a little bit better recently. Mm. There was a time like a year and a half ago where they were literally releasing a new flagship phone every 3 months. That's HTC.
It
was
ditching the next one, yeah.
It's like, what? What are you doing?
And there were all little variations, like the Desire and the Desire HD and the Wildfire on the Wildfire S, and just like constantly like one-upping it just a little bit, kind of pointlessly,
and then not updating.
No.
So I guess that's good. The site is back up, so now I can actually just pull up news stories now. Thanks very much for that email though, Susan.
I'll pass that on to her. I'll get Siri to pass it on to her.
what else we got? Fruit, nice quick one. Fruit Ninja has just passed 300 million downloads.
How much?
300 million.
Million downloads. Yes, that's a lot. Halfbrick have done rather well for themselves, haven't they?
They have.
They're like the biggest thing in Australia, which is quite the biggest games thing in Australia, which is quite nice. So I saw them when they did, what's the one that they had on the phone? Rascals. Rascals on the Xbox Live. That was good. I quite enjoyed that. That was fun. And obviously Jetpack Joyride's done quite well, I suppose, as well. And now you've got Fruit Ninja's doing ridiculousness. They've done really well for themselves.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy for it.
1.5 trillion pieces of fruit have been sliced.
I feel like I should say something like, that's a very big fruit salad.
Around 100 years worth of Fruit Ninja is played every single day. It is installed on 1 in 3 US phones.
This is some 100 it's years
loved
worth
by David Cameron as well. There we go. That's put me off the game. Well, it was going so well up until that bit. So, yes, let's move on quickly before I retch. EA Mobile talking to Pocket Gamer, talking to Will Wilson from Pocket Gamer at E3. I managed to get the product marketing manager for the mobile version of FIFA 13 to say that it would be the dream for the console, for it to be, for you to start a game on FIFA 13 on console, well, FIFA, not FIFA 13, on consoles, and then finish that same game on a mobile.
That's the dream, is it?
Yeah. In terms of cross-platform play.
Was this not the dream of, you know, portables, like, 8 years ago? Like this kind of stuff's been done before, and it hasn't really taken off. It's definitely happening with stuff like the Vita, but, like, this kind of thing's...
I think the Vita's got a few titles so far that do that with Motorstorm RC.
Well, like, the PSP did it. Like, you know, it's...
Bought the PSP.
Yeah, all right, okay. So, well, for the one person that bought one, that was me. Like, yeah, it was all exciting. Like, I do agree with him. Like, I think that this is fantastic. Like, the idea that you can go from one screen to another just, you know, beautifully and very effortlessly is fantastic. And especially for a game like FIFA, where it is, you know, like, it's the same thing over and over again in terms of game... Like the actual
it's
game
not the
itself.
Same. Every game of football is different.
It's a beautiful
battle between mental ability and physical ability.
This is the bit where I just hear white noise.
Yeah.
Football blah.
But you know, like you know, if you, I can understand the appeal of something like FIFA or something like that, and I think that, you know, the way that EA's handled those FIFA titles has maybe been pretty good. I mean, I've not really played them, but like. They're meant to be pretty good on iOS, and so
yeah, they're right.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you know, just the idea of you know, getting home from work and like, you know, on the bus, whatever, playing like 5 minutes of FIFA 14, and then, you know, flicking it over to your, you know, Xbox or whatever. I think that's a superb idea. I don't know why they haven't got on it a little bit more.
Well, I think this is one-upping the Wii U, or just trying to do it, because ever since the Wii U did the whole, you know, we're going to be able to switch it. And I say it's not new, but being able to switch the game from the TV screen to that controller, the LCD screen embedded in the controller. And then we've had smart glass since there, which is you know,
I reckon the Wii U's just copying the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, even that had a little screeny thing, didn't it? Even that.
It was so far ahead of its time.
The original PlayStation had something called the Pocket Station, which was...
it did, didn't it?
So yeah. It wasn't actually ahead of its time. It was...
The thing is, though, if you're transferring between the PlayStation 3 and the Vita, for example, that makes more sense to me in terms of form, because... They've both got analog sticks. They both control sort of the same way. When you're switching, if you're going to play half a match using analog sticks or an Xbox controller and then switch over to touchscreen controls for the same game, isn't that going to be a drastically different style of play and stuff? He asks because he doesn't know much about football.
Basically, yes. Yeah, that's the problem at the moment. I'm actually looking up the release date of the Pocket Station just to see.
No, don't give me no.
I've
got to be right on this one.
You're very close, but you're in terms of the Japanese release of the Dreamcast, you are about a year out, 3 months. You only missed it by 3 months.
Ah.
Dreamcast VMU was before, unless of course the VMU came out after. No, it didn't.
No,
it came with the VMU. So, it just beat it. But but that's according to Wikipedia, so you can just edit it now and then go, actually, Will.
Yeah, yes. I'll be back in a minute. Hold on.
Citation by Peter Willington.
So, let's move on, though, while Peter's changing history. Korean Ubisoft, I met with producer of Assassin's Creed Utopia at E3 last week to find out a bit more about their upcoming game with in association made with GREE, which is called Assassin's Creed Utopia, coming to smartphones, probably Android as well as iOS. And she told me nothing about the game.
that was a plane trip worth taking.
I got a few things out. Obviously, she'd been heavily briefed. It was one of those interviews. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about this?
No.
Okay. Looks down a notepad. That's like three notes based around that one question. Damn.
Red lasers playing across her forehead, just in case.
It did seem very under pressure. My chair was lowering as the interview went on. She's very nice. So it's narrative driven. It's got a social focus. It's set in the colonial era, but really early, so before Assassin's Creed 3 on the consoles. Has no link to Assassin's Creed 3. And I asked her what type of game it was. She didn't tell me, but there is a quote that I managed to get from the interview, which she said, "The game will involve you building your own Assassin's Creed utopian colonial city."
Brilliant. A true Assassin's Creed experience.
Assassin's Creed experience. Hardcore fans as well as casual, can it not? build a city and farm crops.
Assassin's Creedville? Oi. But then it is Gree. Although, no, but they seem to be stressing that it's not... The Gree thing, they seem to be stressing this, like, but no, it's a proper game. It's hardcore, again.
That's the thing. Looking back through the notes, well, obviously not the notes, the transcription, she didn't say the game was hardcore. She said the brand was hardcore. I think it's going to be a farming game.
I think you are right.
Yes.
But with like a with dialogue in between like missions, so someone pop up and say, what's the name going to be? Stephen.
Yep.
Stephen, you've got to give me 8 turnips to destroy the Templar's fortress.
Well, I mean, there's like, I mean, because I think, I think you are a big fan. I'm certainly a big fan. James, you're a pretty big fan of Assassin's Creed.
I like the second one.
Yeah. If you remember back to AC2 Brotherhood, you know, there was stuff that you could kind of see them taking from that and bringing into a more sort of like, you know, Cityville, Farmville kind of mechanic.
Yeah, there was stuff that was in it was in the second one, first of all, the town thing. But even the Terrible Revelations had a few, like that tower defense thing. It was
exactly
the game, but it would work as a, you know, a tablet game. That would work.
Yeah, and like, you know, sending out your assassins on missions and getting, you know, I'm quietly optimistic, though I base that on nothing. So,
well, it's meant to be a good experience for hardcore fans of the series, such as us two, and a less hardcore fan like James.
Yeah.
Although having said that, I did not like Revelations. The multiplayer was good, but the single player boring. Mm-hmm.
I actually turned in Assassin's Creed 2 for like to get the full authentic experience. I switched it to Italian language wise, but then it really irritated me because all their mouths were synced up in English.
Apparently the Italian voice acting is not very good either.
Well, I mean, it was slightly difficult to tell because I don't speak Italian, so I wasn't aware whether their inflections were correct or not. But it was slightly more jarring that their mouths were clearly saying English things. So that spoiled my immersion slightly. But it was a way of getting rid of Nolan North.
Good point.
Oh, but no, I'm sure he's lovely. I'm sure he's the nicest guy ever.
No. So, yes, let's move on to Peter Molyneux. Mr. Molyneux's been chatting at BAFTA this week and has been talking about freemium games. She describes most of them, well, many of them, to be more like demos in monetization stuck on the end of them, which I'd imagine quite a lot of people would agree with. But he then went on to say, though, if proper monetization could be built in from the ground up and not designed by some producer or some financially driven person, then I think amazing things can happen.
I love that line. It's like, if the money bit could be made by somebody who knows nothing about money, like, oh yeah, go on.
Like, but Fisa, we as human beings love hobbies. We have different hobbies throughout our lives.
Yep.
And we love spending money on our hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we have that thought about a computer game experience?
Oh.
So that people would want to invest money, not just feel compelled or forced.
Oh, what you mean computer game experiences? Do you mean my hobby? Like, yeah.
And by
I don't understand
money.
How you've managed to link the two together.
If only we could get people to spend money on video games like they do their hobbies. Like, they've been doing that for a while.
What's really weird about this whole thing, you know, is that his first game, and it does sound intriguing. I've got to. It involves you just tapping away at a cube, and the first person to reach the inside or take it all away is getting a surprise. But you get a chisel for free.
Yeah.
Now a little chisel. You could buy a better one for 59p. Or one person in the world can buy a diamond virtual chisel that costs £50,000.
How much?
£50,000. One person can have it in the world. But you see, maybe the thing inside the cube is the surprise. Is worth £100,000.
Or maybe it's a picture of a lolcat.
Like... I really want it to be. Do you remember at the end of Doom 2 where you saw the head of one of the developers just floating in the background? I just really want it to be a floating 3D head of Peter Molyneux, just like, thanks for the 50k, jerk. Like, because that's the guy who's going to win it. Like,
but you never know. It might be like the hare and the tortoise, you know, some guy that pays the 50 grand and goes, yes, I've got the diamond chisel. I think I'll just have a little sleep. And then someone with a free chisel has been tapping away for 24 hours without stopping, without drinking, without even looking up, just going tap, 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 tap out loud. And then as the guy goes, yeah, I think I'll start chipping away with my diamond chisel. The other guy goes, yes, done it! Peter Molyneux's floating head.
Why is this game played exclusively by sociopaths? But this is all supposed to be...
I can answer that.
Oh, really?
How many of us are actually just going to be going for the center of the cube? Or how many of us are just going to download it and go, oh, that's kind of interesting, and then stop playing after 5 minutes?
Yeah. Well, if you turn it on and then two taps in, it turns out you win it. Because the idea is everyone's tapping at the same time, aren't they? And so whoever gets the last taps on, they gets in. And he's framing it as this sort of psychological experiment thing, isn't he? It's not about ripping you off for 50 grand. Although that would be a...
Who is stupid?
Yeah.
How many taps did you do with your cheap chisel?
50 billion.
Then you are one of the silly people. It's an intriguing game, but there we go. I'm not sure how that game fits in with his comments about monetization if it's not done by someone who's financially motivated.
I think that's what happens. That's the example. If it's done by someone not financially motivated, he offers impossibly inaffordable DLC, which no one buys. That's what happens.
Fair enough. That is odd. I'm curious though about what's coming up on the new releases roundabout.
Ooh.
Anyone else going to join me?
Why not? Mosey on over.
All right. Thanks very much, Susan, for all that. Let's go. In the car. The podcast car.
The podcast.
The podcast. Oh, I can't believe I missed that one. This week on the new releases, we're having a mutant storm with our suspect inside, but don't worry, we've got a pocket plane.
I'll give you that one. Yeah.
I don't know. I might redo that. Might recast it. in a different light. No, I'm not going to. So this week on iPad only, we have Mutant Storm, which is an Xbox Live Arcade title from 2000 BC.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really old. This is pre-Geometry Wars and pre-Raphaelite.
Stands up very well, actually.
Yeah, it seems to work on modern hardware. So, yes, it was very highly rated back in the day because it was a sort of traditional twin-stick shooter when they were really out of fashion, early 2007, I guess, 2006. But anyway, yes, but it's out now for iPad, published by Crescent Moon. I think our review's already gone up and we gave it a reasonably disappointing mark because thing is, it was really good 5 years ago or whenever it was released. But since then, Geometry Wars and everyone else has kind of raised the bar a bit in terms of the twin stick shooter and the whole neon minimalist graphics. They're not the pull as they once were. So
no, they have been done, haven't they?
Yeah, and the gameplay's not quite up. But anyway, if you want a bit of a blast from the past, Mutant Storm is out and it is available for an ungodly sum, £1.99.
Good lord.
What are they thinking? Suspect in Sight is also out this week. It's got soundtrack. I better turn that off.
It looks amazing. Like properly cool.
It does? Oh yeah, it does actually, yeah.
It looks really cool.
Why is the CGI cutscene at the start of this video so crap looking?
Yeah.
Actually when you go onto the graphics on screen it's good.
It looks like the helicopter bits in GTA, doesn't
that
it?
That is exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which were fun.
Oh, it looks so good. I like these kind of like playing as the cops and like, you know, getting the criminals. It's not a driving game, you know, but it's more than the sort of typical flight game on iPhone, which like the ones I tend to play just tend to be a bit too simmy or, you know, or they tend to be like really arcade. But this seems to be like just this nice sort of. From the video, it looks really sort of like down the line.
Did anyone play Simcopter?
Oh, yes.
No.
It looks exactly like that.
It doesn't, does it?
It does. Yes, it does. Yeah. The only way that Suspect in Sight could be better than the score that we eventually get.
It does actually look like Simcopter. Yeah.
It does, yeah. The only way it could be better is if it tuned into Cityville or something like that, and you could...
Yeah, that'd be good. And then you could go around rescuing all the Sims.
Yes!
Cities from Cityville.
Yeah.
Because they... Yeah. But, yeah.
I played Desert Strike. That's got a helicopter in it.
Mega Drive, jeez.
What are you on?
How could it be? It's got Mega in the title. What are you talking about? It's got to be amazing.
Also out this week, keeping on an air theme... Pocket Planes by Nimblebit, which I will talk about later, from the creators of Tiny Tower.
Yes. So pixel art, is it going to be Tiny Tower in the air, or is it a different thing?
I can't tell you. It's a surprise!
Ooh.
Let's tap away at this cube of new releases, and we'll find Babel Rising 3D waiting for us next.
£50,000? Oh, no. Evil Rising 3D.
Yeah, that would be a massive disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so this is the remake of a mobile game, would you believe?
Huh.
It's been remade for consoles and mobiles. Yes, the original was 2D. This one's 3D. I played a little bit of it. Seems kind of boring, but I won't pass. I won't completely dismiss it out of hand.
It looks nice, but the consensus is not great, from what I've heard. It hasn't been garnering the best reviews. But looks nice.
Yeah, I guess it looks okay. But we'll wait for our review of that. Next one up is War Games Whopper by B-Rad Entertainment. And it's apparently it's an officially licensed War Games game, which is a bit given that that's...
Finally, someone secured that license.
That's been the longest negotiation in history.
Woohoo! Yes, so it basically it features some horrible looking graphics from the screenshot.
It looks ugly, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's a head to head game as well. You play as the machine from War Games against various characters in the film. And it's a matching game or something. It looks very odd, doesn't it?
It looks like it was developed on an Atari.
Probably that's probably the look they're going for.
Yeah.
Is War Games the one that had Broderick in it? Or was that Project X? Oh, I get confused with these 1980s war thing, computer game things. What were they?
War Games is the one where they have thermonuclear war.
Yeah. I thought War Games was the one with Robin Williams.
Oh, I don't think so. Is he
Robin Williams?
No.
Oh, no, that's toys.
Yeah. Human Defense is up next. It's a tower defense game set in the human body. And rather than use coins to build towers, you use proteins and carbohydrates. Pretty standard.
Wow. Serious enthusiasm. What's this remind me of? Oh, Tiny Invaders. Tiny Invaders.
Yeah, it does. I have actually played. It's not that bad. Human Defense. I don't like tower defense games anyway, but I did have a quick play on it earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's got quite an interesting concept in that you only get your currency effectively at certain points in the level. So you don't have. It doesn't just build up. But I kind of found that kind of frustrating. But then I don't like tower defense anyway. I'm terrible at them. And I was terrible at this game. So let's move on. Temple Run, Brave.
Oh, yeah. The officially licensed Disney Pixar edition-y thing, isn't it? Now, is this just a reskin or has this got lots of exciting new features?
I think it's just the reskin.
Yeah, it's a reskin, but it looks so much better. Like, it looks really, really beautiful.
Really, does it? Hang on, so that was quite... I did see it earlier. I didn't think it didn't blow me away.
Oh, it looks so
nice.
Much,
yeah, it does look nice.
So much better. Like, I think it's not necessarily, like, more well-defined. You know, it's not better looking in a sort of, you know, pure technical graphical sense. But I just think the art style just lends itself a lot better to it. And... you know, it looks brighter. It does. It's not quite a sort of like murky texture as Temple Run arguably has.
It is effectively, though, Temple Run again, only now you've got one extra move, which is where you can fire your bow at like extra things on the side of the level. So, but other than that, it's pretty much the same. But it is free. Is it free? It must be free.
So, I don't know.
No, $69.
I think it's money. Yeah.
69.
What?
It's not got such great reviews as well. Two stars. There and there. But never mind, let's move on. Let's go to Eager Beaver, which is a first game from Chillingo. That took a while.
Young up and comers.
Young whippersnappers who don't often get to see a Chillingo game. So yes, it's a it looks like a balancing game where you drop crap into the ocean and you play a beaver. You got to watch out for hungry fish, apparently, and explosive traps. Yes.
Oh, it looks now. It looks reminds me of that stacking game that was released for the 3DS not so long ago. The one that was converted from the Wii. Go and help me out.
Art of Balance.
There you go. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Only underwater with beavers. Oh, it looks. Yeah.
And finally, this week is another release from Chillingo, Disco Kitten. You play as Punker. A robot kitten whose job it is to collect energy from canisters and feed a giant hangry head.
Yep, I watched a video for this and I have no idea what this game is about.
Yeah, I watched the video. I don't understand.
I didn't understand the sentence that preceded the video. I have no idea what's going on.
But I'm sold on the name.
Disco Kitten's a good name.
Yeah, Disco Kitten's a great name.
Yeah.
They don't look like kittens, though.
No. Doesn't matter.
And none of them are dancing.
All right, that matters.
There you draw the line. False advertising.
That is out now for meow even for 69p.
To your room, Wilson.
Yes, so there we go. That's the new releases of this week. Woohoo! Let's go straight on to the what we've been playing, Village.
Have you noticed how this podcast's fallen up, completely fallen apart with neither of the two sensible ones?
Let's just go to the playing field.
Let's just say stuff weirdly. What we've been playing!
We didn't even, Disco Kitten doesn't even exist. We just made it up. It's fevered imagination.
Might start doing that, actually.
Yeah, why not?
So, yes, welcome to the What We've Been Playing fields. It's hot, but it's not humid today. But still, everyone's got their clothes off and running running freely across a flower strewn field. Yes, so I want to go first.
Okay.
Go on, then.
I've been playing Pocket Planes, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes.
I didn't really like Tiny Tower that much, you know. I think I've said this before. I found it a bit confusing. I know everyone else has thought that's hilarious, but in fairness, I gave it about 10 minutes. But then, yeah, no, I didn't really see, I didn't really get the main hook, as it were. I didn't really get drawn into it at all. And, I mean, it's one of the few freemium games where I've had, like, you know, decent hardworking people have said it's a good game. So I was kind of a bit disappointed because I didn't really like it. But I've been playing Pocket Planes, and it's really good. I really enjoy it. It is a freemium game, so if you're expecting to not be waiting, then I'm sorry. But at the same time, it sort of makes more sense in this particular instance because you are in charge of an airline company. So obviously, your planes don't just suddenly appear across the other side of the world. So you're like plotting out routes, picking up cargo and passengers, you know. Just generally being an airline company. And you get to build new planes, you build new parts, buy new parts even, expand out your airport empire across the world to different cities and then, you know, spread them out. It's quite good. I quite enjoy it. It's interesting as well. It's got a very intriguing approach to bucks, which is the premium currency. Obviously, you can buy them. But also, it seems to give you quite a bit, but not all at once. So it's sort of like, it will just drop in a passenger, it will give you a buck for free every, like, 20 minutes or something. And you'll go, oh, thanks very much. But then at the same time, you'll go and buy a new plane, thinking to yourself, oh, I've got, like, 10,000 coins, I can buy a plane. And then you go to the plane list, and you can't actually buy any planes without premium currency. So there is a point where they drip feed you this. So it's a bit weird. It's a bit different sort of balance between the currencies. I haven't actually felt compelled to buy any, which is good. Probably wouldn't, to be honest. It's quite a nice game, though. Seems good. There's a social sort of meta game going on as well, but I don't think it's working at the moment. There's like a flight crew. I've joined our active flight crew that Mark set up, but this is also another, if your flight crew is like the best flight crew in the world, I don't know how that's worked out because it doesn't seem to be working. But if they're the best in the world, you get bucks as well for free. And you have your own internal leaderboard. And there's like global events. There's currently a chemical spill in Calgary, which is handy because I'm nowhere near Calgary. I'm actually based out of Berlin. Hello, aus Berlin. Yes. And I've just built a new airport in Cordoba. And my next location will be, where is it? Benghazi.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you feel in any way penalized or restricted for not spending real money?
Well, you see, not at the moment. I mean, I could very easily skip ahead quite a lot. And in terms of equipment and, you know, by buying some cash now, but you know, I can't be bothered. Oh, a nice, it's filled with nice little touches, though. I mean, the graphics are nice, for one thing. But at the same time, on the iPad, it's obviously just an upscaled version of the iPhone's version, which is a bit disappointing, if I'm being honest. But the the other good thing is it has like loads of neat touches, like the fact that my airplanes now, on the globe map, it shows all the areas that are still light in the real world. So the light on your globe goes around at the same time.
Oh,
so,
that's so cool.
So my plane's now, cool. My plane's now just about to pull into Berlin. They're actually dark. When I click on them, they'll have darkness outside. But the ones pulling into Manchester Airport are currently still flying in the light. It's quite cool. So yeah, it's filled with little touches like that. And there's also on the menu screen, no reason for it really, but it's a bit like that thing in Tiny Tower. I think it might be the same thing actually, BitBook, where you just click it on the menu screen,
yeah,
and get comments from all your passengers, and it's quite funny. And they'll put hashtags depending on like your flight number. You can rename your flights as well, but you can't name them very much. So there's someone complaining about the flying on my flight P2L1, which means passengers to level one. I've got a code going on, so I don't have to mess about with finding out which one's which. But yeah, it's good. And then when I opened an airport in Manchester, someone tweeted in BitBook, I know, that why would anyone want to open an airport here? It's rubbish.
Oh.
And I took a screenshot so I could show Keith.
These randomly generated insults for Vince Manchester.
But then also another person later on went Manchester, and then he did the greater than sign Berlin. So I'm thinking he's probably a rather fed up Brit who's come back after having his wallet nicked in the centre of Berlin. I make up stories for my passengers.
Clearly.
While I'm sitting there staring at the map screen waiting for my planes to arrive.
So you have to entertain yourself with something else while you're playing your game.
Pocket plane fanfic. It's awesome. Yeah.
He had a great flight that day. It passed into nighttime by the time he'd reached...
do any of them ever crash? Can your planes crash? Can they run out of fuel?
If they did crash, it could actually mess up your entire game. So I'm hoping not. Because you cash and... premium cash is on a bit of a knife edge and all, a bit of a knife edge, but you know, it's quite hard to get lots of either one of them, so okay. Yeah, it's good. I don't mind it. The other, very quickly, I was playing another freemium game this week, which was EA's FIFA Superstars or something like that. I think so. It's been out for a while, but fancied giving it a go because the Euros are on, and I thought, might as well. No, it's not very good. Really? I mean, like, the basic idea is quite good. It's like Dream Team from FIFA 12 and FIFA... I think it was actually first in FIFA 10. But yeah, like, so in Dream Team, you get, like, a selection of cards of footballers, and then you have to, you know, win games of those cards so you can earn money and then buy more cards, which will then give you more footballers. And eventually, you'll have, like, a footballer menagerie, that's it. Excellent. And you and with like their heads on your wall, and then you get caught by the police. It's kind of a bit weird in that way. I might be making that last bit up, but yeah. So you just keep building up a team until you have a team of superstars, and then you can say to your mates when you're in, like, when you're downtown, like, I got Ronaldo, and they'll go, yeah, well, I got Iniesta, in your face.
Yeah, is Cantona still in it?
No.
What about Sheringham?
No.
What about Peter Schmeichel? These are all of the footballers that I know.
You're just naming your like sticker annual, aren't you?
Yeah.
So yes, it's all right. But I mean, the concept's good. But again, it's too freemium. They went a bit too far on the old greed. Mm. So you just basically run out, like, within about an hour, you just sort of run out of energy, or you run out of, well, I mean, physically as well as in the game. And the matches aren't very good, and you just don't have enough money. And then it locks off, like, the silver. I have actually too much money now, because I can't buy any silver players, and the only way my team can improve is if they've got silver-graded players now. So I've got, like, 50,000 coins, and considering that the bronze takes 10,000 to buy, I think I'm covered with silver. But I can't actually buy any because they won't let me through arbitrary levels, and I can't play the higher up league. I can't win any matches anymore because my team aren't good enough. But I can't get good enough because I don't have enough XP to buy the next pack. So I'm like sitting there thinking, this is boring. So yeah.
Yay, freemium.
Who wants to go next?
Go on, I will. So continuing the exploration of iPhone games that I missed out on, I decided that I was falling into a bit of a rut. I was like, oh, I'm not really enjoying anything, and that I was playing. Like, I tried a few new games, like in the time while you guys were out in LA, and I wasn't really getting anything. And then Cut the Rope Experiments went free for some reason for like a couple of days, so I grabbed that, and because I know I like Cut the Rope, and so I've been playing that, and guess what, it's really good. It just feels like it absolutely feels like an add-on pack, and it you know, the additional stuff that they add, you know, that they put on top of it, the you get plungers now that hold on to the actual piece of candy on a string, and you can like move them down slowly, and they have like weight to the sweet, so like when you when it floats in the water, which is also new, like it gets dragged down if they're on plungers. There's also rockets that the sweet will attach itself to, and you can fling rockets about, and it all adds nice little layers to the Cut the Rope formula that was set down. But it really does feel like an add-on pack. It doesn't feel like it's a brand new game, and I feel that it's, we discussed ages ago about how, like, you know, Angry Birds Space, and I was kind of saying that it felt a little bit like an add-on as well. This feels even more like that. Like, there's very little extra that it kind of, there's very little extra of any real significance that it adds to the game, but it's still really, really fun. And Omnom is just as darling as he was in the first one. And I'm now absolutely in love with him. I think he's a brilliant bit of design. And it, the, in a sort of like technical way, I think the game kind of loads up a little bit quicker, and you can get into things a little bit faster, and the difficulty set down a little bit, because some of the levels in the original Cut the Rope are really tough, but this one I kind of got through it quite quickly, so I was very, very impressed with it, and I'd be really interested to see them do a third take on that game, and you know, potentially where that might go next. Yeah, really, really, really good. I'm glad I had that little, went back to something I knew was going to be really good, because I think Cut the Rope is excellent, unsurprisingly.
I'm in agreement with it being excellent. I'm about halfway through Cut the Rope, the first one, and it is awesome. I've been seriously impressed every step of the way just how good, because it's such a simple concept, but it's been executed so well.
Completed it over a year and a half, two years ago.
Yeah, over a year. Well done, you. I only started recently. Aren't you clever? But hang on, I'd always assumed, I hadn't looked into it because I've not completed the first one yet. I always thought Experiments was like an add-on pack. Is it a full-blown sequel?
Yeah, though? Yeah, it's a full-on separate app, basically, like full-on separate sequel. But it doesn't really. I don't think they really messaged it very well, like, because I had that opinion as well.
Yeah, I thought it was the bonus thing.
But yeah, no, it's cool. I think it's definitely, I think it's gone back to being paid for again. But it's definitely worth the time and the money. So
James.
All right then. Well, I have. I've been doing Endless Runners recently for some reason, so I thought I'd have a break and try something a bit different. Lock and Load is what I have done, or what I have been doing. It is a twin stick shooter, but not one of the black on neon Geo Wars things we've been discussing. It's kind of an isometric shooty number, which is horror themed. So it's kind of based on horror movies and Halloween-esque stuff. So your little avatar, matey, is a stocky yellow-clad fellow with a Jason Voorhees mask. And he's tootling about at home, and some people come and trample his flowers outside. He takes exception at this trampling, puts on his Voorhees mask, busts out a minigun, strolls outside, and starts laying waste to all who cross his path, which some might say be an overreaction. But it's all right, because the people he is laying into are all kind of, they're all sort of excerpts from various different horror movie franchises. So you've got like a pumpkin-headed person who throws heads at you, which then proceed to explode. You've got an interesting like cross between, you know, the from Scream, that Scream face, the ghost face mask. You've got guys wandering around with that, but they're kind of wearing like Adidas trousers or something. So it's like kind of like this bizarre sort of, I don't know, like towny ghost faced chav look thing going on. It's odd, but they're running around with knives and shotguns trying to blow you away. You've got scarecrows that open up their shirts or whatever they have, and actual crows fly out, presumably in a scary way, because, you know, scare. Anyway, you've got the arch nemesis of the whole thing is this little girl with black hair, floats around, and she's trying to turn the world evil. So they're all her little minions. She bobs on the spot in this bizarre. Whenever she appears for a cutscene, they all have like fully voiced, and she bobs up and down on the spot like she's floating in a paddling pool or something. It's a bit weird, but they all have voiceover things, and they're sort of going for a humorous edge to it, because obviously it's a bit tongue-in-cheek and a bit silly, and it sort of pulls it off sometimes. It doesn't really pull it off at others. They do this thing where they keep trying to like break the fourth wall, where your man is talking to you and he's explaining stuff, like, you know, telling you to click on things. Like in the middle of the game, he's kind of going, well, if you, cause he's, and he's got this the classic kind of Duke Nukem. He's clearly modeled a bit on Duke Nukem. It's got that kind of, well, if you click on the pause menu, you can access these. And it's like, it feels a bit weird, like him saying this stuff. And then he actually references it himself. He goes, oh, but of course, I wouldn't know anything about that because I'm in a game. And Mama, yeah, you're like, yeah, bit forced. Doesn't quite work. But obviously, it's not trying to be too serious. It plays much as you'd think these things do. The controls are nicely responsive. It works. It's got a very solid, chunky look to it. Angular, really nice, very colorful, lots of nice lighting stuff going on. And the enemies are nicely varied. Not only are they obviously look different, but you've got these kind of a mixture of long range, short range, exploding bomb things, directional weapons, as well as stuff that goes around corners. And that's all very nice. I think I got to the second or third stage before a zombie appeared. So that's got to be some kind of record with these things. It's obviously not trying to be, it's not breaking any molds or anything too much, but it is solid and chunky and enjoyable. It tends to hem you into areas when you walk into a zone, and then it kind of throws up the invisible walls and says you can't go through until you've taken everyone out. And just as you're going like, oh, there's another one, it kind of ends. So it's quite nicely, it feels nicely judged as when is too much, when they're just like constantly respawning enemies. It ends just about the right time for you to want to carry on and you know, keep on playing. So that's kind of nicely judged. And it applies to the same rather than three stars, you have to collect presents. But each level, you can collect three presents and unlock extra things. There is a freemium aspect to it, but it's quite like, it's not intruded on me pretty much at all so far. I think there is the option to go and, you know, pay for some freemium things if you want to, but I haven't felt the need to, and it hasn't been flashing it in my face all the time, which I'm hugely grateful for. So yeah, that's a big kind of tick in its favor. I mean, I accept that freemium stuff's going to be there, but it when it's constantly like flashing up adverts for it, when it's that intrusive, I take objection. But this one's been very good. It's been kind of just like, yeah, they're there, but it's nice and muted, pay for it. And I asked you before whether you feel penalized. I don't feel penalized for not paying anything. So that's, you know, in its favor. It's fun. There's a nice selection of weapons as well, actually. If you're going to use your miniguns and everything, they've got shotguns and other things you can take on, choose for close range destruction-y bits for the stabby fellows. So there's some nice options. It looks good. It plays well. It's not going to set the world on fire for being super original, but it's good. The only thing that threw me slightly was, he's doing all this Duke Nukem-esque voiceover stuff where he's going, you know, saying, I'm going to get this guy, and oh, that hurts, and I'm getting... And throwing in bizarre movie references. He says Hippie-Kaye, which has nothing to do with horror movies. That's a totally different genre, so I think that's a bit weird. But at one point, happened quite a few times, and it hasn't happened since, he just started swearing, like, loads. And it seems really out of keeping with the rest of the game. And it wasn't even like a big barrage of swearing. He just drops the F-bomb on its own, like mid battle. And there's no suggestion, because obviously it's a violence and horror movie, but up until that there's been nothing. No suggestion that it's going to go all, it's not super duper gory, it's quite colorful, it's quite playful. And then suddenly he just starts dropping F-bombs left, right and center. And I don't mind swearing and things, but it just caught me completely off guard. And that seemed a bit of a weird choice. But if you can get over the occasional profanity, it's fun. And I think it's free at the moment as well. So free at this moment, it might be when it goes up. So if you want to have a look at it, grab it while it costs nothing, and you'll probably have a good time.
Thank you. I'm just waiting for my P1SH, which stands for Passengers 1, the S word, to land in Belgrade, and then I'm going to retire this hulking, rusting piece of crap. It's rubbish. It's really awful.
The plane or the game?
No, the plane. It's gone 2,249 miles, had 23 flights. It's had a good time, but I'm afraid him and its pilot, Tom Douglas, is about to be retired. Remove. Do you want to move it to your hangar? Yes. Goodbye. Die. Right. Anyway, so yes, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us tonight. That's you as well, listener. Or today, depending on when you listen to it. And yes, we will be back next week with more exciting stuff. So yes, have a good one.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.